First John chapter 2 and verse 18, and I'm reading. Listen to the text and please follow me. This is a very important text that we really need to adhere to today, especially in the last time in which we live in. Listen what Yohanan, John, is writing to the family of God. He said in verse 18, little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is an antichrist that denies the Father and the Son. Whosoever denies the Son, the same has not the Father. He that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie. And even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence, and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that every one that doeth righteousness is born of him. And I stop here with the reading. Now this is a very important passage, brothers and sisters. Yohanan, this Hebrew apostle, who grown about 90 years of age, even more than 90 by the time he writes this epistle, this letter, he's writing to the Mishpacha, to the family of God. And you and I trust all of us are here today, believers in the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, and we are part of the family of God. To be placed into the family of God, one must be born of the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, and we become part of the family of God. And John was very much concerned that the believers will understand the place that they have in the body of Messiah. And that they will understand what it cost God to bring them, to be redeemed, to be purchased. The cost was the blood of Yeshua the Messiah. He paid a great price in order to bring us to be part of the family of God. So as we become part of the family of God, John, Yohanan is saying there are always danger along the way. And we know very well that there are enemies that the believers have. We talked about it many times. Whether it is Satan, whether it is the world, or whether it is the old nature, the flesh, these enemies that we have all the time, to seek to stop us from growing, from developing, from becoming people of God, men and women, brothers and sisters, young and old, who follow Yeshua the Messiah, and a good testimony for him in this world. The enemy attacks us at every corner, every area. And you know, one of the things that he does he introduced false teaching. False teaching is not new, only today. Already years ago, in the beginning of the church age, the ecclesia, they were already entering into the body of Messiah those who taught false teaching. Not only in the church age, but even among our people, Israel, historically. God always warned our own nation, Israel, to be careful against false prophets, false messiahs, those who claim to be something that they were not. And he always encouraged them to be careful. Israel ought to be careful. The believers in the body of Messiah ought to be careful. You and I ought to be careful. And this is the last days of the church age in which we live in. Soon the Lord Jesus is coming. Yeshua, he promised that he is going to come. And he said, let not your heart be troubled. You remember in John chapter 14, if you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again in order to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Yeshua promised that he's coming back. And he instructed those first Hebrew apostles, the Shlichim, to teach this to the people of God. And here is a passage, beloved brothers, today, very short passage, but so much filled with warning for believers such as you and I to be careful from false teaching. So verses 18 to 29 of 1 John chapter 2, Yohanan is warning the people of God to be careful because there will be false teachers and to be aware of their doings and of their teachings. Actually, there are three things that he's pointing out that false teachers do. Number one, false teachers do not remain among God's people. Number two, false teachers deny the truth of God's word. And number three, false teachers seek to lead believers away from the truth. The apostle writing and giving this to us, and I would like us, by the Spirit of God, listen to this and apply this to yourself to learn from these verses. First of all, in verses 18 and 19, false teachers do not remain among God's people. They're here for a while, do their own thing, all among the people of God, among the believers, and then they move along somewhere else. In verse 18, he said, little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many antichrists, plural, whereby we know that it is the last time. I want you to notice, first of all, he's really presenting before us this expression that immediately comes before our mind is, little children, it is the last time. Now this expression in the Greek, H-O-R-A, the word for time is really the word hour. It is the last hour. And the apostle Yohanan saying, listen, we are living in these last days. Now, Yohanan was writing this at about the year 90 AD. Almost 2,000 years ago, Yohanan the apostle was writing to the family of God, warning them then about the danger of the last days. Now, what does he mean when he said it is the last hour? He doesn't mean that it is necessarily the next hour something is going to happen. He's speaking about a period of time known as the church age. And no one knows, neither John knew how long the church age will be. But apparently the church age has been taking place now nearly or almost 2,000 years. In other words, if John thought it through, that in his time there are things that are going to happen in the early part of the church age. Imagine what happened in our days today. We are living not in the last hour, we are living in the last minutes or in the last seconds of the church age, in which it's going to come to a conclusion very, very soon. The Messiah is going to come. First of all, to take the heavenly company to be with him, the church, but also to restore our people Israel and to establish the Messianic kingdom here upon the face of this earth. So it is the last age in which the Messiah is coming very soon, but there are things that are going to be evident that are here presented before us in these last days. Notice, by the way, that he's speaking to the little children. He's really applied this to all believers. People who are born by the Holy Spirit of God. He's speaking to all of us. This is directed to every believer in Yeshua the Messiah, boy and girl, men and women, true, born from above, children of God. And now notice that. Listen to these brothers and sisters. Hear another important word here in this verse. It says, "And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come." Now here is the first time that we find in the Word of God the word Antichrist. In Greek is Antichristos. In Hebrew is Neged HaMashiach or Kmo HaMashiach. It simply speaks about a single individual person who is going to come one day that John give him the title Antichrist. You know, we often use the word anti in life. For example, we use the word anti-Semite. Anti-Shemi, we say it in Hebrew. A person who is against the Jewish people, against the descendant of Shem. Then we have those that are against the government, or those that are against a certain nation, or those that are against something. We use the word anti, against. But I would like to suggest, beloved brothers and sisters, that in the Greek and in the mind of Yohanan, the word anti comes for much more than just against, but it has the thought of someone who come instead of. When you think about the word anti, you don't only think about someone who is against, but someone who is seeking to take the place of. And so we have here a single individual person that is going to come, and he's known by John here as the Antichrist, the one who is going to seek to take the place of the Messiah. Now, this is not only a New Testament teaching. There are many titles that the Hebrew writers have given to this man that is going to come at the last days of the church age. Of course, the church is going to be taken out of here, and he's going to ultimately rule this world during the tribulation period. This man has many titles and names that have been given to him by the writers of the Bible, of the Word of God. In Daniel chapter 7 and verse 8, he's called the little horn. In Daniel chapter 9 and verse 26, he is called the prince that shall come. In Daniel chapter 11, in verse 36, he is called the willful king. In fact, the Lord Yeshua himself said in John chapter 5, in verse 43, "I came in my Father's name, and you received me not, but another will come in his own name, him you will receive." Another title of this Antichrist or counterfeit Mashiach is one who comes in his own name. Paul, Shaul, the apostle, wrote about this man, and he called him in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3, the man of sin. And in the very same verse of 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 3b, he is called the son of perdition. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 8, he is called the lawless one. And finally, in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 1, he is called the beast. Hachaya, as we say it in Hebrew. Many titles that is speaking about one who is going to come in the future day. Who is going to be ruler over this world. He is going to be a willful king. The one that is prince that will come one day. And the whole world are going to follow after him. Now I'm telling you that the world is ripe for this man to come at any time. The other day I was watching the television station, and what I noticed, how the world is so quickly following after some leader. Whether it is a musician who is singing, and the young people raising their hands, and they are so impressed with that singer. And I was saying to myself, Lord, I wish I could see that among men today, that will lift up their hand in worship and adoration for the person of Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah. And the world is so ripe to follow after some great leader that is somehow fascinating the whole world to follow after him. Do you know what happened in the 30s and the 40s? How Hitler had fascinated Europe. And thousands and millions follow after this man because he had this charisma in him. And beloved brothers and sisters, John, Yohanan, this Hebrew apostle, is warning the believers to be careful, because there is a time coming when the Antichrist, the single individual, that Antichrist, Mashiach Sheker, or false Messiah, shall come. The one who's going to look like the Messiah, who's going to appear like the Messiah. Maybe a political ruler, a political leader, who will lead the world. You know, and the world is so ripe for that. We are looking for some great men who are going to fix all our problems. The economic problem, the problem that we have in every area. There is not enough food in this world. They need to govern this world because the world is so divided. And this man is going to come one day and he's going to appeal to the human race. And many will follow after this man. And the Hebrew scripture have already spoken about this man in many form and shapes many years ago, even before the Messiah was born. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 24 for a moment. Look what Jesus the Messiah said when he was here on earth before his death on the cross. Notice what he said in verse 4 and 5. He said, "Then Yeshua answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Mashiach. And they shall deceive many." He already predicted this when he was here upon the face of this world, that many will come in his name and they will claim to be the Messiah and they will ultimately deceive many. Notice in verse 24 of Matthew chapter 24, "There shall arise false messiahs," false Christs. He promised this when he was here on earth, that there will be many who ultimately will claim to be the Messiah. Oh, how many people have already claimed to be the Messiah, and yet none of them really fit what the scripture predicted concerning the true Messiah. And you and I are exhorted to be careful, to be aware of the fact that one day, a person that will claim to take the place of the Messiah will arise, and he's not only against anti-Messiah, but he's also seek to take the place of the Messiah. So, not only that there is one single individual who is going to come to seek to take the place of Yeshua the Messiah, but he says in verse 18b, "Even now are there many antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time, the last hour." In other words, Yohanan was speaking about 2,000 years ago. You and I are here 2,000 years later. And imagine how many have been already claiming to take the place or seek to claim that they are leaders and teachers who claim that they are representing the Lord Yeshua or the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. And so in verse 18b, he is giving them this warning. He said, "Even now there are many antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time." And oh, beloved brothers and sisters, can you imagine what went on already in the early stage of the church age, where there are those who are now not only claiming to be the Messiah, but they, as teachers, were beginning to teach things that were not in accordance with the Word of God. And when false teachings are being taught, then what really we do, we allow ourselves to be bombarded or influenced by that which is really against the Messiah. Now think about the professing Christians today. Think about some that claim to teach the Word of God, and for example, they deny the deity of Christ. They deny the validity of the Word of God. They deny the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. They deny the triunity of the Godhead. They deny the eternal salvation for a person who believes in Yeshua the Messiah. They deny fundamental truths of the Word of God. There are many who are against the truth of the Word of God that already have been spread in the first part of the church age. And you and I today can see that. You don't have to go far, but just read some books or open the television or go on the internet and you will see all sorts of groups with various views that totally are not subject to the written Word of God. I don't want to mention names, but you and I know very well who we are talking about and how careful we have to be when it comes to these kind of teaching. And so there is a warning here. Even now there are many against the Messiah or false teachers, whereby we know that it is the last time. Now, notice what he says in verse 19 immediately. John points now to the departure of those counterfeit believers. And he says, listen, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt continue with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not at all of us. Now this is an important verse to understand. Let me just make sure that we all understand what Yohanan did not say. He didn't say that if believers have a problem, and they seem to fight with each other, and one have left and have gone to another community of believers, he didn't speak about those believers who have friction among each other and sometimes divide. And that's why oftentimes we are dividing among ourselves, not because one denied the person of Yeshua the Messiah, but simply because there are problems among the people of God. And because we are not patient enough, or we are not submissive enough, as we know our hearts, and at times we divide from one another. But he doesn't talk about true believer dividing from another true believer. He doesn't speak about that. And we have to be very careful. Because if somebody that was in our midst, who have gone to another meeting place, with another saints of the Lord, it doesn't mean that it's applied to him. This is not at all applied to believers who have left one group and have gone to another group. That has nothing to do with this. Here in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 19, he's speaking about unbelievers. Those who will never at all belong to the family of God. And at time earlier they have been among the people of God, but it didn't take too long and they didn't stay there. Now you see, brothers and sisters, you know what a false teacher or a false believer, a person who is not really born again, does? He comes among the people of God, stays for a while, and then after a while he's gone out and maybe he goes another place and then seeking to influence the others, and at the end he or she do not continue with the things of the Lord. It's just a temporary. In other words, they were never born of the Holy Spirit of God. They have never accepted Yeshua as their Lord and Mashiach. They have never been born from above. So they just temporarily seek around among the people of God. And when trouble comes, all of a sudden, they don't need to stay anymore among the people of God. They forsake the people of God and they've gone away. And you know, it happened in the history of the church. How many false teachers have crept in among the people of God, which Paul have also warned in Acts chapter 20. Even from among you will rise some who will not spare the flock. And they will depart and they will not continue among the people of God. You see, there's time coming that the Lord tests His own people. He will test you, He will test me. Now, believer will fail the Lord. We know we fail the Lord many times. But a believer is still a child of God. And even though at times we fail and we're not honoring the Lord the way we should be, but we still remain among those who confess that Yeshua is the Messiah. But here we have false teachers who had claimed to be those that belong to the Lord, but actually they have never belonged to the Lord. They have never knew Him as their Lord and Messiah and Savior. I want to read you a couple of verses in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 verse 21, we read these words that spoken by Yeshua the Messiah.
Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and in thy name have we cast out demons, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? And listen what the answer will be in verse 23. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You see what the Lord is saying, that these individuals never had this new life in them right from the beginning. They came among the people of God, but they were never born from above, born again. Look what Yeshua said right there in John chapter 10 and verse 24. This is in connection with the feast of dedication. Then came the leaders, this is the Jewish leaders, about him, and they said unto him, how long dost thou make us doubt? If you be the Messiah, tell us plainly. And he answered and he said, I told you, but you believe me not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Verse 26, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I say unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I'll give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You see, beloved brothers and sisters, Yohanan warning the believers, the little children, the born one, the one that belonged to him, he says, listen, it is the last time. Soon will this one single individual called Antichrist, counterfeit Messiah, false Mashiach, going to arise, but now there are already, as he said in verse 18, there are many antichrists, and we know now that we are in the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt continued with us. And you know, we need to be extremely careful, because what happened, there will be in every situation, whether we are here locally or whether we are in another place in the city of Toronto or elsewhere in the world where we are among the people of God, there is always be those who would come with some new revelation that God had given to them. You might say Revelation 23. As if there is some new things. And you notice that it comes and it goes. And it comes and it goes. It happened to the early believers 2,000 years ago, and it's going to happen in your life and in mine, in which John is warning the believers to be alert to that, to be careful, and to notice this, because false teachers do not remain among the people of God. They stay there for a season, and then all of a sudden, when it doesn't suit them anymore, they all of a sudden gone astray. The us is the believers. The they is the unbelievers. And definitely we are not speaking about believers that separate from each other. Not at all. But we are speaking about those who claim to belong to the Lord, but really they have never been part of the family of God. So now notice, beloved brothers and sisters, in 1 John chapter 2, John now continues, and he's saying the second thing about those false teachers or false counterfeit believers. Not only that they don't remain among the people of God, but secondly, they deny the truth of God's word. False teachers deny the truth of God's word. The clear scripture, the clear word of God, what we have in the Tanakh and in the Brit HaChadasha, in the Old Testament and Old Covenant and the New Covenant. And so, John now presenting what false teachers deny. Notice that in verse 20, he began by saying that true believers have the Holy Spirit of God indwelling them. But you, ye, this is the believers, you have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. That word for unction is the Greek word chrisma, C-H-R-I-S-M-A, which is really the anointing. In Hebrew, we call it Mishcha. And he's saying, you, all believers, have the unction, the anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. In other words, Every believer is being anointed or being baptized or being saturated or being indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God. He doesn't speak about selected individuals. You know, sometimes we see somebody that is really the Lord using and says, wow, he has the anointing. But here he's speaking about all believers. Every one of us here in this room today that is a believer in Yeshua the Messiah, you have an anointing, an unction. You have the charisma. You have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God in you. And you know all things. In other words, you are able to understand the things of God. You see, how do you and I understand the truth of the Word of God? We don't understand all things at all time, at once, you might say. But as we grow and we learn the Holy Spirit of God teaching us the truth of the Word of God. And that's why, beloved brothers and sisters, when John is writing here, he says, look at this, brothers and sisters. You are indwelt by the Spirit of God. You need to discern those things. You have the Word of God in your hand. You have the Holy Spirit of God in your heart. And you are to know, to discern, is this from God? Or is this not from God? Does this person teach me the truth? Or does this person teach false teaching? And that's why Yohanan is saying to them, brother, look, yes, many false teachers will rise up. And they will teach all kind of things. But you have to listen to what they say. Read the Word of God. And with the help of Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit of God, you can know whether this is of the Lord or this is not of the Lord. You know the reason, brothers and sisters, why many times we are being swayed by all sort of things and all sort of professing teachers? You know why we are swayed all the time or many times? Is because we're not listening to the Word of God and not allow the Spirit of God to convict us. We sometimes harden our hearts. We sometimes have pride and self-will that allow us to be swayed by all sort of false teachers. But really, beloved brothers and sisters, according to this verse 20, we have the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit of God is this unction. This is the one that he's calling here. He is the anointing one. He is the one that has indwelled every believer. And we ought to know that which is from the Lord and that which is not from the Lord. And we can never blame God when we are being swayed. We can only blame ourselves because we were not allowing the Spirit of God to speak to us and to lead us. I can give you some verses that are very clear that Paul wrote to believers. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The Spirit lusteth against the flesh and the flesh against the Spirit, and they are contrary to each other. Galatians chapter 5. There are many other verses that we can read in Scripture which oftentimes we fail because we don't submit ourselves to the guidance of the Holy Spirit of God. And we are at fault. But you know, we have the Holy Spirit of God. We ought to be able to discern, is that from the Lord? Or is that not from the Lord? So every believer have the Holy Spirit of God indwelling. In fact, Romans 8 verse 9 says, if any man have not the Spirit of the Messiah, he is not belong to him at all. In other words, we all have the Holy Spirit of God, meaning all believers. If we don't have the Holy Spirit of God indwelling us, that means that we not belong to Him at all. Romans 8 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 13 says, by one Spirit, we have all have been baptized or placed into one body. It is the Holy Spirit of God that have been indwelt in the believer. In accordance with John chapter 14, Yeshua said that He will send the Comforter and He will teach you all things. John 14 verses 16 to 18. And so, beloved brothers and sisters, we have to be wise and discerning whether something is from the Lord or not, because we have the possibility to learn that and to discern that because Ruach HaKodesh. divine person is indwelling every believer in Yeshua the Messiah. So John is writing in verse 21, and he said, I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. You know the truth on the basis of the Word of God. You know the truth because you have the Holy Spirit of God, and you have the ability to discern whether something is from the Lord or whether it is not. And so now he's saying in verse 22, who is a liar? Look, he's now speaking about those who profess to belong to the Messiah, but really they are not belong to the Messiah. Look at this. Verse 22, who is a liar but he that denieth that Yeshua is the Messiah? He is an antichrist that denies the Father and the Son. Now John is making very plain statement here. And you notice that, and why he's mentioning that, and I tell you why he's mentioning this especially here, because in the early church age, there were already those that have crept in among the people of God that have claimed that Yeshua is really not the Messiah. And they deny his messiahship, his lordship. They denied his humanity. They denied his divine nature. They denied the triunity of the Godhead. They denied all that which is very clear had been given to us both in the Tanakh, in the Old Testament, as well as in the Brit HaChadashah. And so he's saying in this verse 22, a person who is denying that Yeshua is the Messiah and coming among the people of God and claiming to be a believer, he is a person that is really not saying the truth. And he's calling him here, according to verse 22, who is the liar, but he that denies that Yeshua is the Messiah. He is an antichrist, against the Messiah that denies the Father and the Son. Now, you know, I can tell you that as a Jewish person, that I had a hard time as a young person exposed to the gospel to understand that in the Godhead there is the Father, Abba, and you have the Son, Ben, and we have the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. I had a hard time with it. And I wanted to know, is it from the Scripture, from the Word of God? And it takes time, with the help of the Spirit of God, to understand this truth, that in the Godhead, there is one God, the God of Israel, but He expresses and He existing and consisting in three persons, the Father, the Son, the Spirit. And it was very hard. And by the way, it's not only hard for us as Jewish people today, but remember the first century writers, they were all Jewish. They themselves had to learn these things. It is by the revelation of the Holy Spirit of God that the Spirit of God have revealed to them of the Father and the Son and the Spirit. And so look at this again, and I'm emphasizing verse 22. They're denying that Yeshua is the Messiah, and denying the Father and the Son. This is amazing truth. Again, I would like you to go back with me to the Gospel of Matthew once again. This time, I want you to go to Matthew chapter 16 and verse 13. Yeshua was among our people in the land. The disciples were following after him. The Talmidim, they were following after him. And he began to instruct them, to help them to understand certain things. And he asked them in Caesarea Philippi, in the north of Israel, in Matthew 16, verse 13, when Yeshua came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples. And he said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Can you imagine? He asking those Hebrew disciples there in Galilee, there in the Golan Heights, there, and he asked him, what people say about me, the Son of Man, Ben HaAdam? What is their opinion? So he says in verse 14, they responded to him, some say that you are John, Yohanan. This is John the Baptizer. Others say that you are Elijah, Eliyahu, Anavi, Elijah the prophet. Others say that you are Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah. And even yet others say that you are one of the prophets. So Yeshua talked to them and he said, well, really, It's very nice to hear that some say that I'm Yohanan HaMadbin, or Eliyahu HaNavi, or Yirmiyahu HaNavi, or one of the Hebrew prophets of all. He says, in verse 15, he says, but whom do you say that I am? Direct question to the disciples. So Shimon Petros is answering, is, thou art the Mashiach, you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Yeshua, you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You are the promised Messiah. Those are Hebrew disciples that had to give him an answer some 2,000 years ago. And you and I have to give the same answer today. Is he the Mashiach? And if he is the Mashiach, is he, notice that, he is the Son who came from the Father? I know it is hard to grasp, but the Spirit of God can help us to understand it. For us who are believers today, we know because the Spirit of God helped us to understand it. But those who came and crept in among the people of God claimed to be believers, but really never acknowledged the Messiahship of Yeshua. And he's saying to them, and I'm back to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 22, where he says, who is the liar? But he that deny that Yeshua is the Messiah, he is against Christ, against the Mashiach, that denies the Father and the Son. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of this world. Again, it is a truth that we only learn as we read it in Scripture, and as we clearly get the help of the Spirit of God to understand it. Otherwise, we will never understand this. Brothers and sisters, we have no confidence in ourselves to even explain this. I feel so inadequate in explaining this. But it is the Spirit of God who can take the Word of God to help everyone to understand that Yeshua is the Mashiach, the Messiah, and that He came from the Father, and that He was the eternal Son of God who came from heaven, became a man, was born to the Virgin Miriam, lived in the land of Israel and died outside of Yerushalayim, was buried and resurrected and had been ascended from Mount Olives back to the Father. There is a Father, there is a Son, there is an Abba, there is a Ben. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of this world. Only the Spirit of God can help us to understand it. On our own, we can't grasp it. And that's why denying this person, the Spirit of God haven't revealed this yet to him or to her. But for us who are believers, we need to stand firm in expressing that He is the Son of the Father. And the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of this world. And so we continue here in this verse 23, whosoever denies the Son, the same has not the Father. But he that acknowledged the Son, he also had the Father. You know, some people say like this, oh, I don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah, but I believe in God. And I believe that we're all going to get to Him one way. You go to Him your way, and He's going to go to Him His way, and they're going to go to Him their way. And yet they deny that Yeshua is the Son of the Father. Now, we cannot all be right. There are not many ways to God. You know what they say about us who are Bible believers is that we are very much insisting on our way. We are narrow-minded. Well, what do you want to do? If the Bible teaches us that I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one come to the Father but by me, Yeshua said this, how can we now introduce our own way? And that's why it is so important to hold on to this truth. Denying the Father is denying the Son. God sent forth His Son. Go to Galatians 4. Paul said to the believers at Galatia, Galatians 4 verse 4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Notice that. In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son. He was made of a woman. He was born to Miriam. He was made under the law because he was born among our people, the people of Israel. When Yeshua was born into this world, he was born into the world when Israel as a nation was still under the law. In accordance with the law, he was born among our own people, the nation of Israel. But it was in the fullness of time where God made that decision to send the Messiah, the Mashiach. And then he says, why was he sent to this world? In order to redeem them that were under the law. We could not keep the law in which God had demanded from everyone. In fact, the law condemned us. But Yeshua is the one that fulfilled the law fully and went to the cross, to the tree, and died for our sins and redeemed us with His precious, precious blood and made us sons and daughters of the Father. And so, beloved brothers and sisters, whosoever, as we said in verse 23, whoever denies the Son is actually really denying the Father. And he that acknowledges the Son also acknowledges the Father. Well, back to 1 John. Chapter 2, verse 24 and 25, John now encourages the believers to hold on to the truth. And he's saying to them in verse 24, let that thereof abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. What did they hear from the beginning? That's how the whole epistle of John began. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled the word of life. For the life was manifest, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life. That which was from the beginning is the Messiah, who was born into this world, the incarnation. He says, hold on to the truth. That the Mashiach, the Messiah, was born into this world for the purpose that He will give His life. He will shed His blood and He will become the Redeemer and the Savior of this world. He is encouraging all of us, brothers and sisters, to hold on to the truth of God's Word. It is so important, especially today, because we are living in the last days of the church age. You don't need to go too far. Listen to the radio. Watch what we hear, what we see on television. Just open the internet and you will see so many religious systems are being introduced towards us. And we are to hold on to the fundamentals of the Word of God, to the Father and to the Son, to the Messiah Yeshua, and not to allow ourselves to be swayed by all sorts of false teachers and false teachings. So, he is encouraging the believers in verse 24 to hold on to the truth. And then in verse 25, God's people have a promise of eternal life. And that's why he says, and this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. You know, you can never get this kind of promise from any other religious system or religious group or religious leader. Who can promise to us eternal life? Eternal life is something that only God can promise to those who believe what He says and what He has done. And you remember what we have in Scripture? There are so many verses, especially the Gospel of John. For God so loved the world, John 3:16, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It's amazing. Can you imagine to have eternal life? It is a promise that when we end our time here, should the Lord going to come today, for the believers, it's just the beginning. We have eternal life. Eternal life is not only a quantity, long time, but eternal life has to do with a relationship with the person of Yeshua, the Messiah. John 17:3 said, and this is eternal life, to know Him, the only true God, and Yeshua, the Messiah. Amen. So we have eternal life. He promised this to us. Only God had promised this to His own beloved people, those who believe in His Son, in the Messiah. By nature, we deserve eternal punishment because we have sinned against God. But because of what Yeshua has done for us, We have a promise of everlasting life. The Gospel of John teaches through and through. If you read this Gospel, you will notice again and again how the Apostle John speaks about eternal life again and again in those verses. Eternal life that the believer is promised to have if he or she, if any man or woman will accept Yeshua the Messiah, they are promised to have eternal life. And thank God for that. Now, the third point, in conclusion, not only that John is warning us against false teachers who will not remain among the people of God, verses 18 and 19, not only that John warns us against false teachers who will deny the truth of God, verses 20 to 25, but thirdly, John is warning us against those false teachers who now also will seek to sway true believers. False teachers will seek to sway the people of God. And I want you to notice that in the last verses here, verses 26 to 29. And now John is saying in verse 26, he says, false teachers seduce true believers. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. You know what they do? Those false teachers, they seduce. The word for seduce here is lead you astray. False teachers seek to seduce or to lead astray the people of God. And they do it because they are actually messengers of the evil one, of Satan. And what Satan wants, he always seeks to take the place of the Messiah, the place of God. And what false teachers do, they're seeking to draw after them those that belong to Yeshua the Messiah. You see, they don't need to seduce the unbelieving world, because the unbelieving world already are blind. They do not know Yeshua the Messiah. So what they do, they come in the midst of the people of God and seducing the people of God to follow after their sort of doctrine, sort of ways that they believe in. By the way, any cult have their main leader picture right in the front. Any system have so-called the one that they worship right in the front. He is their leader, you might say. You know, all sort of religious system in the world, you notice whether it is Buddhas or the Hinduism and all these kind of groups, they have their leaders are the one that is their focus on. Now, obviously, they take it from the people of Israel and the believers who are leader, who is none else but Yeshua the Messiah. Now, we don't have a picture of him because we do not know how he looks like. But we have who he is and what he has done in God's Word. And therefore, for us, the one Yeshua, the Messiah, is our leader. He is the one that is the one that who is supreme, the one that we are to acknowledge and extol and worship and praise. But we don't have a picture of him because the Bible gives us plenty of information about him. None of us have been there when he lived here 2,000 years ago. We know that he is the one of whom the Father presented before us. He is the leader. He is the one that leads his own people. And therefore, those false teachers seduce, seeking to draw believers away from the truth of the Word of God. And what do they do? They really do the work of Satan, seeking to draw people after him. In verse 27, the believers are indwelled by the Holy Spirit of God, and they can discern that. Notice that, verse 27, but the anointing which you have received of him, he abides in you, and he need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, ye shall abide in him. You see, brothers and sisters, the true believers, those of us that belong to the Lord, by the grace of God, we have the anointing. Again, using the same word as it is in verse 20, the charisma, the Ruach HaKodesh, which we have received of the Father. He abides in us. You see, the Holy Spirit of God is remaining in the people of God to guide us, to lead us, to instruct us, to help us to discern, is it from the Lord or is it not for the Lord? And we should be able to discern that because the false teachers seek to lead astray the people of God. And what a shame it is when people who ought to have known the truth and have been kind of led astray by false doctrine, false teaching, by false teachers, and end up, instead of growing spiritually, are ending up losing out and not growing spiritually because they have been occupied with that which is not the real, the genuine, that which is from the Lord. And sometimes we are in the danger of this. We need to be careful, but we have the Holy Spirit of God that is able to help us. And so he's concluding here in verse 28. He said, abide in the Messiah. Stay close to him. Verse 28, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Do you know, brothers and sisters, Yeshua is coming very, very soon. And if he is coming very soon, what's going to happen when he is going to appear? You know, one day we are all going to stand before the judgment seat of the Messiah, all believers. Not the great white throne judgment, this is for unbelievers, but the judgment seat of the Messiah. He's going to appear one day. He's going to take us to be with him, and we are going to stand before him, and we're going to have to answer him. And notice what John is saying, that we may have confidence and be not ashamed before him at his coming. You know, it is said, if when he come and we will have to answer him to certain truths that we have known and by somehow got influenced by others who had drawn us away from the things of the Lord and allowed this to happen in our life, we are not going to lose our salvation, but we are not going to be happy when we are going to have to answer to that which we knew as believers and now end up not honoring him by that which we know. You see, he says that you will be not ashamed at his coming. You know, we want to stand before the Lord and we might say, Lord, I know I fail you much, but I've held on to the truth that you are the Messiah. I held on to the truth that the only answer for sin is through you. I held on to the truth that we understood from Scripture. I know I always not have been where I should have been. I know I could have done better, but nevertheless, Lord, I am so thankful that I've held on to that which you have taught us in the Word of God, that you are the Mashiach, you are the Messiah, and that I would not allow others to sway me, to teach me all sort of things that are drawing me away from you. Lord, I'm so thankful that you have helped me to maintain somehow the truth of the Word of God. So he's going to appear. And we ought not to be ashamed at his coming, because it is important for the believers to have the guidance of the Spirit of God and to keep us somehow away from false teaching. And here's the final word. The believers ought to seek to live a life that is pleasing to him. He ended up this verse 29. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that does righteousness is born of him. We are, as believers, to discern what teachers teaching us, and we are to be very careful to seek to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord. And so, brothers and sisters, just in conclusion here, John is warning us all against those who are false, who are not real believers in Yeshua the Messiah. And he's telling us again and again, those who are false teachers will not remain too long among the people of God. They come for a while, they teach their own things, and then they leave. Secondly, they deny fundamental truths of the gospel. They deny the Father and the Son. They deny that Yeshua is the Messiah. And thirdly, false teachers will seek to sway believers away from the truth of the Word of God, and therefore we ought to be alert. And with the Spirit of God, we are able to do so. And may the Lord help us to help each other, because we are not always, none of us always is in a 100% suitable spiritual state. We all, at times, need additional help from each other and help from the Word of God.